Hey there, this is Jeremy Pruitt of Faith Church in Hamilton, Ohio. Thank you so much for joining us on our podcast today. We pray this message encourages you as you take steps in shaping your faith through Christ. We would love to worship with you as we join together each and every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. at 1877 Millville Avenue. Once again, thanks for stopping by and letting us minister to you today. Today I want to encourage you real quick to go ahead and get out your Bibles. There's going to be a Bible right in the pew immediately in front of you. There's a Bible right there. Go ahead and get that out. There is not a half sheet of paper. There are no sermon notes today, but I'm going to sort of encourage you to maybe get out a piece of paper, to get out a pen, to get out one of those little offering envelopes, whatever you got to do, because today you're going to hear some stuff about how God is doing great things in our community. The book of Matthew chapter 25. This is known as sort of a sending out. Not the Great Commission necessarily, but it is how God asks His people to go and love His people. Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 to 46, it says this: "When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the angels will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another, as the shepherd divides his sheep from the goats." Sheep from the what, church? Goats. Sheep from the goats. "And he will set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. And the king will say to those on his right hand, 'Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me.'" I have a little bit of a ring, just a little bit of a ring. "Then I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did you see you a stranger and take you in? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?' And the king will answer and say to them, 'Assuredly, as I say to you, inasmuch as you did it for one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me.' And he will also say to those on the left hand, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not take me in. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me.' Then they will also answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick and in prison and did not minister to you?' And then he will answer them, 'Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.' And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." Jesus, our Savior, is telling us that once we have a transformed heart, once we have a transformed mind through the power of the Holy Spirit, our lives then change. Our actions then change. We don't change to receive salvation. We don't change to receive a gift of eternal life. We have eternal life because it's already a gift. And so my gift back to Jesus is loving those who the world would call unlovable. This whole month, we've been looking at our goals, our visions, and sort of the how-to of this year. And our goal number 6 for this year is to participate in the Christian Family Center. And that might seem like a very broad statement, but it's not. And I'm going to invite Miss Linda to come forward. If you would, church, let's give her a little Faith Church welcome and give her a round of applause for who she is and what she is doing. And this is goal number 6. We have our 6 goals right here: to make disciples. This one right here is for you. To reach 5 new families, to re-engage youth group, add 3 small groups, leadership development, to participate in the Christian Family Center. Is it bright? It is bright. Don't look at the lights. That's how you make it through. Don't look up, look down. Yes. And don't picture them naked either. It doesn't help. Or in their underwear. I guess naked's a little bit too far. My bad. In their underwear. Sorry, Lord, forgive me, right? Underwear doesn't help either. But we also talk about, so we have goals, but we also have like a direction. How are we going to do this? Well, our third how, and you can see them back up here on this board. Our third how is to serve in and outside of the church with family, with the church family, but also with our family unit. And so today, I invited Miss Linda, and this is Miss Linda, and she does some phenomenal work, and her husband Rob, and they do great stuff. And that she is from the Christian Family Center. And so we have partnered together with you for 8 Christmases. Mm-hmm. And it's been exciting. And each year it seems like you get more and more children, more and more families. Is this a true statement? Is that false?
It is true. We're helping more and more people. The need is more and more in every aspect. Poverty in the area is just booming. I mean, and we love you guys. You guys are so great at Christmas time and at Thanksgiving time.
Awesome. Well, we are thrilled to be able to partner with you. One of my personal philosophy of ministry is you don't have to reinvent the wheel. Meaning that if something is going well, why not supplement? Why not help out there? Why not try and get involved in that ministry instead of starting a new ministry? And that's exactly where the Christian Family Center came along. It was 8 years ago. I believe it was Charlie Beckett had heard something from somebody he worked with, and he had talked. You remember him, the big guy in the back, right?
Uh-huh.
Right? He sort of got us connected with you, and we wanted you to know that we were serious and helping you out. I think we gave you a check of like, here's good faith. Like, let us help you. Let us work together, right? But, you know, what one of the things we get to do every year, we get to provide Christmas. We started off with 25 kids this year. We got up to 41 kids, I believe. And that's exciting. Here's something I want you to sort of speak to. You are literally on the front lines of this ministry. You are doing it. You are there, seeing the change, seeing the heartbreak, all of that. One of the things I get asked consistently by our folks, by our people, is like, I wish we could get a follow-up letter from our children. From the children, we know that's not possible.
You know what? I get the follow-up letters, and I get the phone calls, and I get the pictures afterwards, and it is amazing. And the problem is, I don't always know which child I'm getting a picture of. Like, the parent will send me a picture, but I have no idea which child this is. Mm-hmm. Nor do I remember, because I give you the picture, I don't remember what they look like to figure out, oh, I need to send it to this church. But believe you me, when the parents come in and you see a mother fall on the floor, literally crying in thanks, and I mean, I can't tell you. The one thing I will say is 99% of the people are so grateful and will tell you this is the only way my child is having Christmas. So you can be sure these kids are well... how do I say it? Not chosen. Well, sorted. Like, I really look at who we pick. The schools look at who we pick. This is not just open the door and anybody can walk in. We don't do that because there's a very fine line between need and greed, and we work very hard to make sure it's those in need. So rest assured, when you see a child up there, he's on no other list. It's usually this teacher has told us that they need them, or it's somebody that comes to our kids' club, or it's someone where we know the parents through other needs. And a lot of times it's somebody that if we have a parent that we know is in drugs or whatever, we'll know that those kids are not getting anything because that's why sometimes you'll get a note in the card that says, remove all tags. There's a reason I say that. We don't want mom or dad to be able to return it and get money or whatever. So if it says remove all tags or cross out
barcodes,
that's why.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's, for some of us, that's an awakening moment, mm-hmm. Because we don't see that a lot from the shoulders that we rub a lot of times from our own personal group of friends and family. And so... That's incredibly important, you know, and I think One of the things you talked about from the very beginning is like we see poverty booming. Can you sort of speak to that? Maybe, I don't know if you understand the reason why. Can you speak to that, especially in our community, right? What does that look like? How does that affect the community?
Well, I will tell you that it is growing unbelievably. Let me give you an example with food pantry. Our food pantry, let's go back 3 years before COVID, we would run about maybe 20 people a week would come in. That would maybe equate to, at the end of the month, you'd have, 80 people walk through. It would probably equate to about 550, 600 people would be served totally, because you got to remember, a person could come in, be a family. I just looked at the stats for this month, and I have one more week to go. Right now, we had 734 people come through, and we're well over 1,400 people are served. And of that, 70% of that is only one or two people households. And of that 70% that are one or two households, most of them are the elderly. And that is my biggest growing poverty level. I have a lot of people that come in and they say, I just can't do it. Or my wife is sick. We can't pay for the medicine and pay for food. So that group is growing very quickly. Mm-hmm. And they're new every single week.
So poverty doesn't have its own person demographic.
No.
Correct?
I mean, you have generational poverty. I'm not going to tell you that that doesn't exist. It does. But you have a lot of people coming into poverty now that have never been in. And a lot of people have come in and said, I'm mortified to be here, but I just can't make ends meet.
Sure. Absolutely. And so you said sort of before COVID, before the pandemic, your numbers, if I'm correct, these people know I'm not a math person.
Oh, good. 'Cause neither
right? am I. Like it's increased like 90%.
Yes.
Right? And so you went from less than 100 to multiple hundreds units.
And, obviously that's cost comes to us. Mm-hmm. We just keep running. The clothing pantry, it used to be whatever you had, you could, it would last a couple weeks. Now, something comes in, it's gone that week. And I can't tell you, if you've got clothing that you're not using, please bring it to us or give it to Jeremy. He'll bring it to us, especially kids' clothes and jeans. We're in desperate need of jeans.
Kids' clothes and jeans. Now we know.
It's amazing. I mean, this last month when it got cold, the amount of coats we went through, I would say we gave out at least 500 coats. And you know how many people are living in the woods mm-hmm. right by the center? Hundreds. Hundreds are living in the woods.
So let's sort of backtrack. Let's backtrack to the beginning of the Christian Family Center. How long have you guys been at 601 Heaton Street?
They've been there about 31 years. 31 years ago, a minister started preaching on the front stoop of the center. The building was a condemned building. We then agreed with the landlord that we would clean up the first floor. My husband and I have been down there 28 years. That's why I feel old. And we went from that room to the back room. Then we did a room where we had the food pantry out of it. It used to be where you got a bag of groceries. Now we have a food pantry, which is the building across the street, which we bought 5 years ago. And that's made a huge difference. If you know the difference between a choice pantry, you actually almost go shopping. You get a car. Well, we get people to come through. And by the way, I'm looking for volunteers on Tuesdays to walk people through from 12:30 to 2. Little side note.
We'll come back to that.
It started off, we just gave out a bag of groceries. Everybody got the same thing. And then we redid the upstairs. So we've done two of the three floors. We're leaving the third floor to the pigeons and the basement. I don't know, because I've never gone down there. I'm too scared. I don't know what's down there. I don't want to know. I'm not going. So that we have that. Now we have the new building across the street, which is a food pantry, which was a doctor's office. Apparently, everybody used to go to that doctor, but now it's us. So we really are blessed to have gotten that. We got that at a sheriff's auction. So for next to nothing. So that was really good.
And you bought that before the pandemic.
Yes.
And it's amazing how big of a blessing that building has become.
That is amazing. Mm-hmm. You, first of all, you can house so many more groceries. There's a lot of dignity with a choice pantry versus a here's a bag. Mm-hmm. One of the things with the bags is I always gave out beans, because when my husband and I were first married, we were living on, I was still in graduate school and he was fresh out of college, and we lived on like $4,000 a month, a year. And we had no money. So we would buy meat for one meal and we would add beans to it. I would add, like he ever cooked. And
welcome to the club, my friend.
I would add beans because that would stretch the meat. And I mean, that's the way we lived. So I always added beans at the regular pantry. When we opened up the choice pantry, I have not given away one bag of beans. Hmm. Nobody knows what to do with beans. Hmm. Useless. Hmm. So all this time I thought I was doing good and I wasn't doing anything.
But Rob, you got your fill of beans, didn't you? Very good.
Still likes beans.
That's good. That's awesome. They work. So give us sort of a weekly rundown of all that you guys do in our, and I'm sure it's hard to, you guys do so much. You know, you do so much work and so much ministry in our community. What does a weekly schedule look like for you guys?
Well, on Sunday at noon after this, we have church. And we have a man that has come down and volunteered his time, and he preaches for us. It's more of a Bible study than a traditional church service. They're running about 35 now.
Awesome.
So, I mean, that's a lot of people from the community.
That's awesome.
And it is interesting. Let's leave it at that. After that, we have lunch. We serve them a hot meal every week. Then on Tuesday, we have food pantry from 12:30 to 1. Wednesday we have clothing pantry and we serve a hot meal during clothing pantry. Oh, on Tuesdays we also have kids club in the afternoon, and then on Wednesday we serve meal with the thing. Thursday's quiet. Friday we have what we call Fun Day Friday. The kids come from 2 to 5:30, and then we open up for dinner, and then we start all over again. It is just, it goes round thing. And, I mean, believe you me, there's always something. Mm-hmm. This week, let me give you an example. I had a girl call me, and she's not a girl, she's 30 years old. She was one of the kids that I mentored from when she was in preschool. That's how long I've known her and her sister. Her sister gave up custody of her kids. She has five kids, five different dads, one she had already given away. She called the CPS and said, I'm giving up my kids. She threatened to drive down 75 and leave her 9-year-old on the road because she thinks her 9-year-old is the problem. If she leaves state, that CPS will find her, because when she left state before, when she enrolled him in school, that's when they realized she had an open CPS case, Child Protective Services, when she left state in Columbus. So she didn't realize that's not out of state, but okay. So she told me she was going to leave him on 75, and I said, absolutely not, I will come get him, whatever, just, you know. She called CPS and said, I don't want him, get him out of here. So CPS came at 10:30 at night, called her mother and said, will you take two? Called this other girl and said, will you take two? This is a single mother of two. She now has four. Has nothing for them. She calls me, I don't know what to do. Okay, I went out. I went first to the clothing pantry, got a bunch of clothes that we had there, not enough. Went to the store, $560 later, bought all kinds of stuff. We got food, everything. Took them over to her. She needs beds. We're trying to secure beds. P.S., her mother, who has always been a bit of a loser, drops the 9-year-old over there now too, and apparently is now bringing the 4-year-old over there too. So she will have 6 kids that she's going to have to take care of.
And this is going on right now.
And this goes on every single day. We had a child living, she was 12. She'd come to food pantry every week, and I'm thinking, that's really strange. How does she get out of school? She says, I don't go to school on Tuesdays because I can get food. Because they're living in the house because both mom and dad, well, mom and boyfriend, are in jail, and they're living in the house with no utilities. She's taking care of her brother. Yeah. This is America.
And this is our community. And the reason we want to talk about this is because it's real life. Right? Like real life is, it can be really fun, but it can also be really difficult. So Linda, a couple years ago, sort of up into the pandemic, maybe a little bit through the pandemic, we used to partner with this ministry called Helping Hamilton Ministry. And he is named Mark Mills, and he owned this little short bus that was decorated with the Bengals. It was a black and orange bus, and they did really great stuff. They went to a couple of the hotels and fed people every single Sunday, every Wednesday. There was a couple years ago where on Facebook we put it out, hey, this Sunday, come hang out afterwards. We're going to make 100 sack lunches, and we're going to go deliver them. And there was an individual from our community who I know who doesn't call this place home, but he responded on my Facebook post, and he responded, teach a man, or give a man some fish and he'll be hungry tomorrow. Teach a man to fish and he'll never be hungry again. And so that got me. Like, you guys know I can get firy. I can get, come on now. And so I called this individual up, and I think maybe you can attest to this. Like, that thought, that thought of, like, teach a man to fish, he'll never be hungry again. Yes, there's nothing wrong with that. But my question to us as the church, my question to us as a community is, what if they don't have a fishing pole? Does that make sense? What if they don't have anything to fish with in the first place? There's the statement of, just pull yourself up by your bootstraps. What if you don't have any boots, right? And that's exactly where Jesus is talking here. Like, if they're hungry, what are we supposed to do with them? Feed them. We're not supposed to, like, well, go somewhere else. If they're naked, clothe them. If they're sick, help heal them. Help them. These are things that are very physical and very plausible and very able to be met. Does this make sense? And so, like, these stories, you have hundreds of stories. You have hundreds of these things even going on in this very moment.
And please know that a lot of our homeless are mentally handicapped. There is no place for them. We had one young man, he got badly burnt last year. He backed into a heater. But he probably functions on maybe a second grade level. But he lives with his parents. They put him out at 7 o'clock in the morning, and he's not allowed back till 9. So he walks the streets. But there's lots of them that don't have anywhere to sleep either. They are on the streets, they're walking around, and they'll come to the food pantry and they'll come to the clothing pantry. And yes, they may get clothes every week, but they have no place to wash their clothes, and they sleep in their clothes. And they, you know, we took blankets this year and we put garbage bags around them. And we sewed the garbage bags onto them so that at least when it's laying on the ground, the moisture can't get through. You know, be aware that there is no place for our homeless right now. And our homeless, a lot of them, I will be honest, some of them have killed their brain cells themselves. But a lot of them were just never have had the capacity.
Well, and it's interesting, when we read Matthew 25, Jesus never puts a disclaimer on this. He never says, if you think they're worthy of it. He never says, if they're mentally with it. He never says, if they have the ability to sustain afterwards. What does he say? He says, do it.
Do it.
Right? And so that's one of the things that as a Christian, we are working for a kingdom that is not here and now. It is eternal. Right? We are working for Christ. We are working on his behalf. And so when you think of this type of stuff, we're not talking social justice. We're not talking this type. We're talking about loving people because they're people and they are created by our Heavenly Father. Does this make sense, church? Nod your head if it makes sense and shake your head no if it doesn't. Because what we need to understand is like Jesus never puts a disclaimer on feed them if they know where their next meal is coming from. If they just need something to get through today. He doesn't say clothe them if they can take care of their clothes afterwards. He says clothe them if they're naked, right? Excuse me. So Linda, here's a question I want to ask of you. What do you need? Like if you, let's just say you have $14 million and you had, we cannot give that to you, just aww, so you're aware. What? Right? What if you had $14 million or whatever it is, if you had an unending amount of money, what would you love to see at Heaton Street? What would you love to see in the North End?
I would love to be able to serve dinner every night. I would love to be able to get, be able to pay our minister. That would be a nice little aside. It's the little things that catch us all the time. Like we never have enough deodorant and shampoo. You just can't get enough. We never have enough clothing, no matter what we do. Blankets, towels, sheets. Those are things that we're always scrambling for. And I got people that ask me for a blanket every single day, especially in the winter. We don't have them. I can't give you what I don't have. Those kinds of things, the simple basics are what I wish we had a never-ending supply of. I mean, ideally I'd like to have a big building and all the frills with it, but not in my lifetime. I've been doing this 28 years. I'm not doing this.
Sure. And but, so, okay, I'm sorry. Did I interrupt you?
It is amazing. God has come through every single time. Mm-hmm. There has been so many times where I've thought, we can't do this. We can't do it. This summer, we gave out clothes to 100 kids, got school clothes, including shoes and stuff. We never thought we'd be able to do that. Mm-hmm. He comes through every time.
Every time.
His really, I always say we're the little engine that could down there, because we have a budget that's under $100,000 for a year, and we make it work. We pedal very quickly, and I beg, borrow, and steal.
Don't steal.
Well, sometimes. I mean, I am begging all the time, and the one thing I hate more than anything is to be up here.
Sure.
Sorry.
No, I get it. We are very scary people here, right? You said you had a budget. You have a budget of less than $100,000. Where does that money come from? How do you have a budget? Where does that
churches,
do you receive?
Other churches and individuals support us with a monthly amount, and that helps tremendously. But as with every church, churches have lost a lot during COVID, so that's cut back their budgets. We had two churches that have closed in the last year. I mean, they weren't huge supporters. They were like $100 a month, but that's $100 less in our budget a month, mm-hmm. which means, you know, $100 I can't go out and buy shampoo. Mm-hmm. So it's always, you know, we're always like running. I always feel like I'm like the little hamster in the wheel, you know. You're always running to see what you can do. Mm-hmm. And it's been amazing because, like I said, God does come through, but man, sometimes you just don't see it. We've been very blessed in one aspect, in that the Myers in Hamilton on the west side, we're part of their Simply Give program, which I don't know if you've ever seen the cards in there. They always put it up. And every Meyer has different pantries they support. Well, they've supported us every single go-around. Whenever they have it, three times a year, they've supported us. And there's 3 days a year that they will tell us it's our triple match day, which means if we give them $5,000, and that's as high as we can give them, they will triple match it. So I'll get $15,000 in food carts. Can only buy food. But when I can get that $5,000 and make it $15,000, mm-hmm. that's amazing because that buys a lot of food. Yeah.
How many of you guys shop at Meijer? Everybody raise your hand if you shop at Meijer. How many of you would shop at Meijer for that day if you knew that you could participate in that? Raise your hand. Would you let us know?
Yes.
Because I think we would be able to participate with you in that as well.
I mean, it is amazing that they will do that for us. Mm-hmm. And we are just – and normally most – like I live in Westchester. They have two different food pantries each session, and they change. So there's six different food pantries. But this Meyer has done just us.
It's awesome.
So
it's awesome.
We're really blessed.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, we are, we as a community are blessed to have you, and it's exciting to hear what you're doing. I think as a church, it's also a little bit of a wake-up call, right? It's a little bit of a wake-up call to, first of all, to hear all that you're doing. Like, you do these things, you do this stuff every week, but you provide, how many kids did you provide Christmas for this year?
Oh, 106.
Amazing.
I think that's about right.
You guys, you did a little block party on Halloween that weekend when we were doing our stuff at the ballpark.
Right.
You were doing your thing. What other events like that do you guys do as well?
Well, we try and do something like every 2 months big, mm-hmm. to get the kids out and get our word out and let the kids know. You know, no, there's nothing special for most of these kids. They're not doing anything big.
Right.
So, like, we'll say, okay, this is going to be our day at this splash pad, and or we'll get the indoor Y, and mm-hmm. we'll take them our expense. We try and do things to, you know, these kids have so little.
Yeah.
So that's usually what we do lots of grill outs and stuff like that. If any of the companies give us a hamburger donation, we're doing a grill out.
Sure.
Because that's the majority of the expense, and I can come up with the hot dog rolls and... Mm-hmm. So we just try and reach out as often as we can. We have a petting zoo that comes and costs us like $300. These kids have never seen a baby goat. And you're like, really? Hmm. So
okay.
We try. And if you're interested, you can always call me. And if you want to come down and see the building, see the stuff, or come down when someone's there, please. And like I said, any of you guys want to come down and push a cart? I'd love to have you.
So on the fireplace in the lobby, there are some trifold little handouts that Linda has put together of the stuff they do, why they do what they do. Her contact information is on here. Be ready. We will be contacting you.
Anytime.
But is there, it's still yours.
Oh.
One more question. You're doing great. Isn't she doing great, church? She's doing great. Absolutely. Is there, okay, so like assistance, like you said, you want to serve them, you would love to serve a warm meal every day. Phenomenal goal. How can we're not a big church, but we love a big Jesus, right? We love it. We serve a big God. How can we come alongside you and help make some of these goals reality?
Well, I mean, you guys do great when you're getting your socks and your underwear, and you don't know how much that helps. Socks, just one of those things. If you have a group that wants to get together and say, okay, I want to provide a meal one night, you know, a month or two nights a month, and tell me what night of the week, we'll open up the building. The more we can open up to the community and give to that, and then, I mean, you're going to be surprised at some of the people that come through. And you can't be skittish. You know, you have to learn that that's just the way they are. Some of them are a little pushy, and some of them are so grateful that you're going to cry. But anything like that, obviously, anytime you see shampoo, deodorant, any personal items on sale, and you get a really good price, buy as many as you can and send them to me. I would love to have it. Toilet paper.
Okay.
We used to have a man that brought us toilet paper every week. And we would give out one roll of toilet paper to each person. We no longer can do that because we can't afford to buy the toilet paper. So if toilet paper is your thing, you might be my toilet next mm-hmm. toilet paper person.
What's really cool as well is like there was a day where I was supposed to meet her, but you guys were sick. It was a Tuesday. It was a food pantry day. And I went around. I found there was four doors.
Yeah.
And I went around knocking on all the doors. And it was really like... freaked me out because it wasn't like my people, my clientele, but like there was three men who came to me. What are you doing? What do you need? Like, and it wasn't the guy who normally helps with you. It was neat to see the community people wrap, like surround that place. That's their place.
They are very protective.
They are very protective.
I feel very comfortable 100% of the time. Yeah. I mean, and we've had guns pulled. Sure. I've had a knife pulled on me. I mean, But I feel very protected because I'm Miss Linda, and they know Miss Linda.
She's the queen bee, y'all.
I am. Mm-hmm. They are very protective of me. Mm-hmm. And one time somebody did some damage to my car, and there was street justice. I mean, I had nothing to do with it, but there was street justice. They are very protective, and they are protective of the building. And if anybody does anything, my phone will ring, and they'll all be telling on them.
Yeah.
So no one's – we had somebody who knocked all our cameras out. By the time the morning came, when I had at least 20 people call me to tell me who it was. So –
it's awesome.
We are protected.
You do great work, and I think that is reciprocated, and the people recognize that as well. And so here's just a couple things. So we know as a church what we can do. We've heard how we can help, how we can step up. We have two big bags right behind this white chair full of socks. Last year we donated 1,500 pairs of socks to you, and I had a heart attack in the dunk tank almost. This year we donated. Oh, it was so fun to watch. So fun to be a participant of freezing water on January 3rd, right? Heart palpitations and all. But right after church today, you are invited, encouraged to go and get a bowl of chili. The children are. It's a free will offering, but they're asking $10 per bowl. And that might sound like a lot to you until you realize that the socks that we're going to be buying are going to this organization. If you can't afford $10, that's fine. That's perfectly fine. Your bowl of chili is on the house from us to you, right? Such a small token of our appreciation for you guys. But one of the things you can see here, we're not a large church, but as I said a little bit ago, we do serve a big God. We are one of the churches who thankfully made it through COVID. We made it together. We are stronger through it. And we have a missions committee who sort of heads up all of these things that we do, partner with you and the other ministries that we do. We have a youth. We are very blessed with a youth fund that helps children in our community, helps minister to them. And so one of the things I get to do as pastor is we get to bless you with a check for $2,000 today from our missions committee and from our youth fund. It is not made out to anyone, so don't leave without us putting it on who it is going to be.
Christian Family Center.
Now we know. But we just want to, this is $2,000 of just a token of our appreciation for what you do. And I wish we had that $14 million that we could bless you with to give you the meals every night. But I do know, one thing I know about Faith Church, our little church, is that when we see a need, we do our best to meet it. Amen, church? Do you agree with that? We do a pretty good job. And so this is sort of a rallying of the troops of coming behind you and your husband and your team, of just saying thank you for what you do. Ministry, you don't have to reinvent the wheel for good things to take place. And so we pray that you are blessed by that. We pray that it goes to great, great ministry in our community, because these people are your people, and they are God's people, and they are our people as well.
So. I can't thank you enough. There's so many things that right now we just need to get. This will do it more than that. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Awesome. Let's give Linda and her husband a round of applause. Don't go anywhere yet.
Thank you, Jeff.
If I could, Rob, I know that you're not the public speaker, and that's okay, but I want you to come forward real quick. We want to pray over you guys. Because it's awesome to hear the ministry that you're doing, but we want to partner not just in financial opportunity, but we want to be your brothers and sisters as well. So church, if you would extend your arm this way as in solidarity to Rob and Linda. Lord, we love you, and we just thank you so much for this wonderful family and for the work and the ministry they are doing in our community. God, we pray for protection over them. We pray for their marriage, first of all. We pray that you would strengthen them. We pray that you would encourage them, that you would continue to unite them. God, they would be united under the foot of the cross, that they would be working together for the furthering of your kingdom here on this earth. God, we pray for 601 Heaton Street. We pray for the adjoining building as well. God, we pray that you would protect them. God, we thank you for the great and phenomenal work that they are doing. Lord, we pray. We pray for wonderful success stories. We pray even in the midst of the hardships, even in the midst of the reality of why we do what we do, God, that they would see a change. They would see growth take place in these individuals' lives. Lord, we are just thankful. We're thankful for them. Father, we pray that you would honor your servants. We pray that you would bless them, protect them, provide for them. And Lord, we are thankful for them. It is in Christ's precious name we pray. Church, if you agree, would you say amen? Amen. Amen. We love you guys very, very much. Let's give it up for them one more time today.
Awesome job. I'm leaving that here awesome. So you sign.
Okay. Yep, very good. Very good. Well, hey, that's what we have today. And so now is a very simple opportunity to continue to partner in that with giving, getting a bowl of chili. Again, if you can't give $10, not a big deal. That's perfectly fine. That's not the point. The point is to be together, and the point is to gather and unite in ministry. So let me pray for our meal, and then we'll be dismissed today. Lord, we love you. We thank you so much for this opportunity. I pray that you would bless us. I pray that you would watch over us. Thank you for this meal. Thank you for this opportunity today to partner in ministry. It's in Christ's precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. I love you guys. Happy Sunday. So glad you are here. Come back next week as we do it all again together. Love you all. Thank you.